Good evening. And now, the Inspirational Quarterly.
Hello. Hello, 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 hello. And welcome back to the Inspirational Quarterly, the world's most celebrated podcast devoted to the overlapping fandoms between Family Guy and the 2006 novel StarCraft Ghost Nova. A Venn diagram with you, dear listener, firmly in that middle slice. We're proud to be here for you, to serve you and all others, all others like you. I'm Davey Reedon, and joining me today, as always, is Kara Ellison. Hello, Kara.
Hi. I feel like we should stop insulting our listeners so much.
This is episode 42. If you're still listening to this podcast, you know what you're in for. I think when we started this podcast, I think there was something like 300 something listeners for the first like couple episodes, and now we're down to about 80 something, right? this is what anchor.fm tells me. If I go to our statistics, estimated audience 91 right now. And when we started, we had, let's see. It was not quite 300, but it was more. Our first episode had 1,000 listens, right? It accrued 1,000 listens. And then episode 2 had 414. Then episode 3 had 333. It's cool. And then it slowly dwindled, and now we're at 91. So
we went pretty far into the Family Guy.
What I'm saying is, if you're still listening, you're one of these messed up individuals who you're in. I can say whatever I want now, right? I don't feel like I have to be concerned about saying something to off-put our audience anymore. That ship has sailed, right? So, welcome you, whoever you are, and whatever you are.
Well, I hope you like StarCraft Ghost Nova. That's all I can say.
Because that's what we've got on today's episode.
Yep. That's what's on the menu.
I want to check our age ratings, because that was, 60 and up is down to 5%.
Oh, dang.
Oh, man. I think we peaked at 8%.
Oh. But,
yeah. Anyway. Right. Shall we read StarCraft Ghost Nova?
Yeah, let's do it. So we're now on chapter 16. Very exciting.
Yes. Page 245. We are we're down to our last like 50 pages just about. It's weird.
I know. It feels strange to me.
Yeah. Feels like just yesterday we were on page 244.
I know. Was that a hiccup?
Yes.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Let's get started.
Let's do it.
The first thing that Malcolurgian noticed about the Annihilators is that not a single one of them had a neck. Well, that's a statement. They didn't have any necks. Is this a new Zergling creature? No.
This is, well, so it's that sort of classic like stocky stubby marine type, I'm assuming, but it is fun to imagine that it's just a normal looking person with a neck missing.
Yeah, right? Like no neck. Yeah,
just with literally no neck. It's like those do you ever see those pictures where they take a marine from StarCraft who are in their big marine suits,
yeah,
and then try to draw where their shoulders would be, and it's like physiologically impossible based on based on the design of the suits. It's like their shoulders, the shoulders on the suits are way too wide. It would need to be like a human would need to have three shoulders in order to fit in these suits.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So it could be that they need people who are sort of physically deformed in some way in order to fit in the suits. Like, we already made the suits, right? And the suits have no neck room on them. So we need to go out and find people who just biologically have no neck.
Didn't the original Gears of War guys not have any necks? Like, I don't remember them having necks.
Right. That's probably what we're talking about. We're probably looking at some Gears of War type of blokes here.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. The 22nd Confederate Marine Division numbered, ironically enough, 22. Major Doechii, a captain who served as her second in command, five sergeants, and a mixture of corporals and privates rounding out the remaining 15. The division was broken into five companies, each led by one of the sergeants. Formally given the prosaic designations of A, B, C, D, and E Company, they had each taken on nicknames of their own. Mal hadn't learned them yet, and after meeting the 22nd, the smallest of whom was Mal's height and twice his weight and shoulders alone, he didn't want to know. Probably named after rabid animals, he thought with a shudder.
See, that's what they're saying. That's what he's saying here. He's saying just in the shoulders, this dude has like 10 shoulders, basically.
Yeah. But like, named after rabid animals, like, are there some animals that are always rabid? I mean,
that's true. How do you name a rabid animal?
Do they have names specifically for when they're rabid? Like,
There is a name for when an animal is rabid, and it's called rabid.
Well, yeah.
Rabid fox. Rabid dog. Rabid bird.
So rabid, do you think they're all called rabid something?
That's exactly what I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what Mal thinks.
But then that's not a nickname. That's like longer than their actual name, probably. Right? Like, that's a very stupid decision to make.
Yeah. No, that seems really dumb.
So yeah, not sure what's going on here. They were in a Confederate airbase in Holicktown? Standing outside a Valkyrie that would take them to the gutter.
That is spelled Holyktown, which could make it Holy K Town.
Holy K Town. But then Holy K Town, is K Town Korea Town?
Right. Well, that's what we would call it.
In the future?
In the future, K could be something, you know, K something could be else. Like Kitten Town.
Holy Kitten Town, that sounds amazing.
There's a Confederate air base in Holy Kitten Town.
Well, come on, that's the best air base.
The Marines are like, we refuse to set up camp anywhere other than Holy Kitten Town.
And the Valkyries are landing and all you're hearing is meow, meow.
You got to imagine all these no neck marine fuckers over here just like cuddling with their kittens, and you know, each has its own, you know, each person has their own like designated kitten, right?
Yeah,
that's a good image.
Necklace rabid dog man hugs tiny kitten.
Yeah, now that is going in at the end segment of your local UNN nightly news segment.
Indeed. Right? That's like the last segment.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
today
right.
In the cat pageant or whatever. They always have some kind of cat pageant where it's like a beauty pageant for cats.
Right.
And you're like, why?
Right. Well, those take place in Holy K Town, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. The Valkyrie, which was used as both an air combat vehicle and a troop transport, sat 30 in the rear section, which was currently unoccupied. The various members of the Annihilators were milling about in groups of five or fewer, occasionally shooting disdainful looks at Mal. Who wouldn't do that? I mean, who wouldn't?
Well, we've known that Mal himself looks sort of horrific by default anyway, because that was one of his things, was that Or no, it was when he tries to smile that he looks horrible.
His smile is like really deeply off-putting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He overheard one private making a remark about the confed asshead. That is him. That's how I would probably refer to him.
It's him.
Mal had to bite back a retort about how Marine would know all about people with their heads in their asses, which he was mainly able to do out of an intense desire not to talk to any of them. The Marines were a tool to help him finally finish the damn mission. Nothing more, nothing less.
Do you think the Marine meant to rhyme confed asshead?
Maybe. Confed asshead. Confed asshead. Yeah, that's quite...
You can't say it without it being a little poetic.
Confed asshead. It sounds like rhythmic.
I know, right?
It's good.
These are poetry and kitten-loving Marines out here.
I know. I mean, I feel like they're slightly smarter than Mal, which is probably...
Definitely. Yeah. Well, what I love about this is that, like, we've already beaten this horse to death 1,000 times, but Mal is a private detective who is literally psychic, who is the best in the department, who has been given 6 months to find a person who is the lead executioner for the openly drug dealing crime lord of the entire area, and the only way he can get anything done is by calling in a literal squad, like a death squad, to destroy the entire place, right? Yeah. Malcolm is here on, he's leading his army into battle because
He was so incompetent.
He was so radically incompetent. Right? He's like, aha, this literal squad of Marine, this like death unit of Marine troops will do what I could not.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, Mal. Esmeralda Doce walked up to Mal. In Killiani's office, she was wearing fatigues, but now she, like the rest of her people, was in full combat armor, minus only the helmet. Mal knew that the helmets weren't usually affixed until it was absolutely necessary, to wit, just before insertion, in order to preserve the suit's powers and air supplies. That's kind of a wild trip into lore that seems slightly unnecessary. I mean, she just doesn't have her helmet on, like... good
fine. Right, there's, I bet you Subsurian knows a whole thing about how like the helmets are circulate like a electronic something or other through the suit, right?
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
as soon as they connect the helmet, then it, like, you know, there's like a circuit that starts up and it, you know, lights up all these like LED hue strips inside of the helmet that make it look super badass or something like that.
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Director Killiani said we had a plan. I have a plan, yes. We've got a probable location on where the target is. This plan has two parts. The first part is where I go in and ask for her. Doce actually laughed at that. That's funny, Agent Kalerchian. Very funny. Now, what's the real plan? Well, to be honest with you, I wouldn't put it past him.
Just the plan. And I like how he never did this before at any time either.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So anyway.
God. Dead serious, Mal said. That is the plan, or rather the first part. Damn it, Kalerchian, the director said we're supposed to be part of this. As Noche spoke, the holster embedded in the right thigh of her armor extended sideways with a word to provide the Major with access to her firearm. A P-500, ooh, P-500, that's a high number.
That's the biggest number we've seen yet.
Biggest number. Military issue, and which Mal had thought hadn't been cleared for field use yet. So it's like, wildly... You know, this is like the best tech here, Davey. This is like not even cleared for use yet.
If you're a weapons manufacturer in this StarCraft world, and all the guns are called things like, you know, P220 and P180 and whatever, like, it must be so hard to resist the temptation to be like, all right, this year's model is the P10,000. You know what I mean? Because it would you just make the number higher, right?
I know. Well, it's like, it's weird that they didn't go from like Xbox 360 to Xbox 5000, Xbox 50 million, you know, like, I don't know.
And frankly, it was pretty damn confusing when they didn't. You know what I mean? It definitely made it weirder for everyone to have to figure that out.
But then Xbox 360 was always really confusing because it's like, what does that like mean, that it goes in a little circle? Like,
right.
What's happening?
Well, okay. So if after the P220, they had come out with the P50 million, for example, that probably would have created similar like problems for folks, right?
Yeah.
Where they just don't know how to like compartmentalize that. You know, and then the next year they go, okay, they walk their problem back and they're like, all right, forget about that. This is the P221, right? But then that's similarly confusing because, you know, it's like, wait, but is it only marginally better? And it's the same problem that we had with the Xbox, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the following Xbox after the Xbox One was the Xbox Series S. Xbox Series X.
Confused.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what you imagine is going to happen here as well, is the next year they're going to be like the P, the next year's is the P fish. You know, they're just going to go down a totally different avenue, basically,
the
where
P
like
rabid dog.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, you know how in movie franchises, they keep numbering them, but after a while they abandon the numbers and just go with subtitles.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, there's been so many of these that we're going to stop trying to, like, the numbers become meaningless. So we're just going to call it, like, you know, a name. Right.
So after the PlayStation 5, do you think that Sony are going to have a shot at that? Like, you know, the PlayStation Hootenanny, the PlayStation Kinder Egg, you know, like, I don't know.
The PlayStation Kinder Egg?
Yeah, well, you know, Kinder Eggs have got, like, little toys inside of them. They're banned in America because people choke on them. I mean... Mm-hmm. There's so much you could do with a Kinder Egg style PlayStation. You know, you could shape it in an egg and you could give them little like surprise toys inside.
Your idea of PlayStation rabid dog isn't bad.
You think?
It's like I'm not opposed to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
PlayStation rabid dog. Okay. The action was meant to intimidate, but while Mal's bodysuit wasn't as impressive looking as the Marine's combat armor, it had considerably more toys, including a force field that would protect him from anything short of a nuke. Okay, but like, what if there's a nuke? I mean, the thing about Mal is that I can only imagine him in a Batman outfit.
Yeah, right.
And there's part of me that's like thinks that he looks ridiculous just standing next to this bunch of Marines.
Yeah.
In his silly, giant, long bat coat and bat utility belt, you know, kind of.
Yeah,
weird.
Right.
It was the main reason why he'd walk around the gutter with impunity for 6 months and do nothing!
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, maybe the reason you didn't fucking do anything is because you have a force field that is protecting you from all, that is like literally separating you from all contact with any other humans, right? You're walking around with your giant fucking nuke force field, right?
Just imagine him like walking down the street with this force field on and people are literally being moved out of the way slowly as he walks through the crowd. He's like the 50 50% of the buses are like crashing into him.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, they can't see the force field. How are they supposed to see it? Maybe it's like one of those, I guess it could be like a glowing force field or something like that. But imagine he has like an invisible force field that's just pushing people out of the way and the party buses are crashing into it.
Oh, God.
That would be amazing. No, but then the thing is that the 50%, here's the thing though, is that the party buses that are driving correctly are the ones that are going to hit him, right?
Yeah.
Because they're the party buses that are driving way off, you know, where they shouldn't be, you know, Malcolm is like walking down the middle of the street with his force field up, right? So all the party buses that are driving, you know, recklessly along the sidewalk, they're not going to hit him. It's only the party buses that are following the law and driving in the street that are going to collide with his force field.
Right. Yeah. And also, like, there's part of me that was, like, still kind of a bit cynical about the fact that no one noticed that this guy with a force field was walking around the neighborhood. Like, I don't think that Fagin even knows about Mal, right? Like...
Right. Well, I mean, Fagin doesn't know. Fagin doesn't know anything.
Even know
Fagin doesn't have. It doesn't know anything. Like this Fagin is just. Joke. Fagin is just purely, and it's again. It goes back to our proposed situation of Stupid the Wire, where neither head of like neither opposing, you know, commander is even aware of the other's presence because they are so insulated mentally. Anything going on around them.
I know, but like you'd think that someone would be like, there's like some dude walking around causing bus crashes and like people just light out of the way and like you think he's got a force field. Do you know about this force field guy? Like someone would have said something.
I like that Mal is more notable as force field guy than as his actual job of being a cop.
So funny that it's only just come up that he's been walking around with this stupid force field on. Oh no.
Have you heard the legend of Force Field Man? They say they say he wanders the streets of the gutter from dawn till dusk, pushing people out of his way with his big stupid force field. And like how big do you think his force field is?
What
I like to imagine I like to imagine that it's like 100 yards. Then it's like it's, you know, way like he's clearing out a football field on either side of him wherever he goes, and like the force field is like colliding with, you know, buildings and whatever.
Yeah, he's just been like knocking stuff over.
Yeah, exactly. He's just been like careening through shit, and he's like this kaiju. You know, like walking through the streets of Tarsan is just wrecking everything everywhere he goes.
Oh, this
but
is
it's
like...
in the gutter. But it's in the gutter, so nobody cares.
I guess right? So. Like you could like total the gutter, and I guess technically right. No one would care, but Fagin would care.
Fagin would hear if he wasn't hooked up to a device that was literally melting his brain.
Oh, for God's sake.
But here's the funny part. Here's the funny part to imagine. Say someone down in the gutter is like, oh my God, there's someone is like walking around destroying everything and people are dying and buildings are crumbling and whatever. They're like, call the cops. So they call the police and they're like, all right, we've got our best agent down there. And they phone up Mal and they're like, you know, Mal, something is going around destroying the gutter. And he's like, all right, I'm on it. And he starts running around, you know, even faster, trying to find this thing destroying the gutter. And then he's doing more of it, is what I'm saying. It's him. It's him, but he doesn't know.
The monster is me.
The monster is me?
Oh,
what if I'm the real Fagin?
Oh my God. He would say something like that.
Yeah, he would say something like that. Maybe this is why all of his dates failed.
That's it. That's his major failure. That and his weird smile.
A combination of his weird smile and the force field that doesn't let his dates within 100 yards of him.
Yeah, they can't even like talk to him.
Yeah, exactly. I stood up by another date.
Looks like desperate.
Just
to get in.
just my luck.
You are part of this, he explained, only semi-patiently. Specifically, as far as the first part of the plan goes, you're the threat. I'm going to walk into the house of this guy, who is, by the way, the major crime lord in the gutter. Like, he sings, like, matter-of-factly, as if he only, you know, he knew this all along and didn't just find out about it, like, 5 seconds ago.
Like, literally today.
A position he couldn't have gotten by being stupid. Oh,
yes, my friend, I have a story for you. It's called StarCraft Ghost Nova.
And explain to him that the Marines are going to drop the entire gutter on his head if he doesn't hand the target over.
Okay. I like that Mal, who is part of the TPF / whatever this institution is, which is populated by nothing but stupid people, is like, well, this guy can't be dumb.
Yeah.
Right? Surely no one in a leadership position at a big organization could be a raving lunatic.
As stupid as us.
Right. Yeah, we're real dumb. There's no way he's worse than us.
Yeah. Mal wasn't sure why he was calling her the target. He couldn't bring himself to go Kilyani's route and refer to her by her designation, but for some reason he refused to use her real name in front of the Marines. Like I'm betraying her somehow. He shook his head. What a ridiculous notion. Dochi's holster re-embedded itself in the suit, putting the P-500 out of immediate reach. And when this pan brain tells you to go flick yourself? At that, Mal smiled. We go to the second part of the plan. Ooh, the second part of the plan, Mal? Mm-hmm. Which is, you drop the gutter on his head. Mal is, his planning is next to none. Like,
hey,
let's
not be too harsh on him. This is the first time his plans have ever had two parts to them.
I think this is the first time he's ever done a plan.
He's never actually made a plan before. He doesn't actually know how plans work.
This is so nuts.
Doesn't police work just happen to you?
Someone just tells you what to do and then you just go and do it.
Right, right. This is the first time he's ever taken initiative to do something.
Rubbing her chin with a gloved hand, Dochi asked, any reason why we can't do the second part first? Mal had expected this question and had prepared an entire argument about how real people not involved in this might get hurt. But at the last minute, he realized that it would be wasted on Ndochi. She's a major, you're in charge, act like it. Because I said so, Major. You have a problem with it, take it out with Director Kilyani. I'm sure she'll be happy to replace you as CEO of the 22nd. That caused the Major to roll her eyes. Don't push me, Wrangler. You really think your little teep squad could do anything to me? You really think Ilsa Kilyani can't bend the universe to her will? Dochi stared at Mal for a second. Then she turned around. Captain Spaulding! The captain, a young man with a large nose and a small mustache, snapped to attention. All the other Marines stopped talking.
Thank you, Keith, for that detail. Thank you for the large
small
nose.
Small mustache. How small? Is it a Hitler?
I know, right? Well, that's famous small mustaches in history. Not populated by a wide array of beloved small mustaches.
I mean, maybe she like made him get like a Hitler stash so that he would be slightly more scary to the other Marines. I don't know.
Or to make her seem like a more reasonable human being right. By comparison.
Yes,
I like the idea that the mustache is like, you know, like one of those thick sort of curly mustaches, right?
Yeah.
Like you imagine when someone says a mustache, but it's just like a really shrunk down version of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like a super tiny one. Like
just a really teensy. Yeah. It's like a really teensy tiny, like it's a real mustache, but it's just a teensy tiny little one.
Like a kind of John Waters situation.
Yeah, like John. Yeah, but even smaller. Go even smaller.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am, Spalding said. Let's get a move on, Captain. Spalding smiled. Yes, ma'am. Ten hut. All the Marines snapped to attention. Fall in. With the exception of the two in charge, each Marine entered the Valkyrie through the rear hatch in rank order. First the sergeants, then the corporals, then the privates. Doshi looked at Mao. It's your mission, Agent Kalerchian. Then let's get to it, Major.
Anyone who like voluntarily gives Malcolm this much power is just out of their minds.
Yeah, just not in their right state of mind.
Not particularly with it.
Mal climbed into the Valkyrie and took a seat on one of the two benches, each of which sat 15 on either side of the rear compartment. Mal took the seat on the right side closest to the front, which required him to walk past 20 Marines who refused to make eye contact with him. Because they've all heard about his, like, terrible detectiving skills.
I thought you were going to say his legendarily bad smile.
Yeah, and
they were worried he's going to smile at him.
Very stupid force field, which somehow he's allowed to have. As Ndochi and Spalding followed him in and took up the seats facing each other at the rear end of the Valkyrie close to the hatch, Mal sub-vocalized to tell his computer to patch him into the pilot. Yes, sir, came the voice of the pilot, an older woman with the appropriate name of Fleet. She was up in the cockpit, along with the co-pilot and the Valkyrie's medic. Lieutenant Commander Fleet, this is Agent Kalerchian. We're ready to go at your discretion. Roger that, sir. At Fleet's command, the hatch closed. Prepare for takeoff. Spalding then barked out, who's the best? As one, the 20 soldiers of the 22nd said, the Annihilator, sir! Who's the best? The Annihilator, sir! Who's the best? The Annihilator, sir! Who's not the best? Everybody else, sir! Let's do it! Yes, sir!
That's not a real military bark, is it? That's not a thing that people do. Who's the best? You're the best. Yes, you are. Yes, you are the best. Yes, you are the best.
You are the best.
Who's the best? Who's the best Marine unit? Who's the best Marine unit?
And then, like, Mal's in the back going, I am.
I am. I'm pretty good, too. I'm good, too. I like the idea that, when dog owners talk to their dogs, like, who's such a good boy? Who's such a good boy? I like the idea of following this logic, this Annihilator's logic, that the dog owner might also include, like, and who's not a good dog? Other dogs. Other dogs are stupid dogs. Bad dogs who bite their owners. Yes, they are. Not like you. Oh. Other dogs poop on the carpet.
With that, the Marines put on their helmets and started running their final systems and weapons check as the Valkyrie took off with sufficient smoothness that Mal barely felt it, just a mild amount of pressure against his feet and rear end. He's like, ooh, my butt. He made a mental note to command Fleet on her piloting skills when this was over. Figuring it couldn't hurt, Mal told his computer to do a check on his bodysuit, particularly the size screen, which he'd activate as soon as they arrived. In particular, he wanted to make sure the force field worked properly.
It's his only mechanism. It's the only thing he has going for him. If the force field for some reason didn't work, he would have literally no capacity to do anything as a officer.
He had a bad feeling that bullets were going to fly before this day was over.
You know, yeah, definitely some shit is going to go down, which, by the way, would be, like, the first time in a while in this book
anything
has happened. Yeah. I think it's funny that, like, do you think the Annihilators on this, who's the best? We are. Who's the best? Everyone else. Who sucks? Everyone else. Do you think that that's actually hyping them up? Like that a person sitting there being in this chant is like genuinely getting a burst of enthusiasm for their mission from this?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it would be better if... Wait, let's look at this chant again because it just isn't... Who's the best? The Annihilator, sir. I just feel like when you try and say Annihilators, like, over and over and over again, it's like just a really long word to say.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a lot of fun to shout that. I mean, the Annihilator, sir, is like quite a long chant.
Yeah.
Like, it would be better if they were just called something short, like the doofs, or, you know, the
feral rabid foxes, sir.
The foxes, or the dogs, or the mans, you know.
That the mans.
The mans. We're the mans. I don't know.
I'm just saying, it's hard for me to imagine someone like, you know, who's the best, we are, who's not the best, everybody else. I'm just not inspired, is what I'm saying. Right?
Well, also, like, you know, it would be good if you had, you know, some enemies to go up against. Because if you truly are the best, then, like, why do you have to go out there and prove it? I mean, you could just stay at home and watch TV, you know? If everyone else sucks, then you're like, well.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You might need to reaffirm that you, like, we're going out to once again prove we are the best, right? We proved it last time, but well, between that, now and then, things
that is
change.
A good song. We are going out to once again prove we are the best.
Yeah.
Who
was the best last time this happened?
Yeah, who's the
who
best
you
last
were?
Time? Yeah.
Who do we aspire to be on the next event of combat? We do.
Yes.
Between the last time we went out and the current time when we're about to go out, what did we do? We trained diligently with an eye on self-improvement and growth in such a way that we sustainably become the best. Who is unlikely to have performed to the level that we have, both in actual practical combat scenarios and also in training and diligence during downtime? Other Marine units, which we have spent time around and observed and gotten to see them and have thus learned that their degree of diligence is generally across the board lower than ours is.
Yeah.
You know, something
I mean,
like that.
Due to the, like, honestly start thinking about these guys as being almost like, you know, like Sailor Moon or something, where there are all these like little teen girls on the ship, and they're like,
they've got their kittens. They've got their kittens with them, you know, just like Sailor Moon. They've got like a cat there that's like their special cat.
Yeah,
and they're you know, rhyming and doing poetry in their, you know, in their, when they talk.
Yeah,
and when they get out here to go out and, you know, do a combat, they need to feel connected to one another.
Yeah, like it's like they're singing on the school bus, you know.
Yeah, exactly. What if the Valkyrie? What if the Valkyrie is actually looks like a school bus?
I mean, that would be pretty funny.
Okay, that would be pretty
about it as being a school bus.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a school bus. It's definitely a school bus. Is it a school party bus?
Oh, no. Well, remember, all the bad kids sit at the back, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no,
she's at the back.
Right. These Annihilators sound adorable, honestly.
They're so cute.
They sound adorable. And I do like to imagine that they have a, you know, there's a real bond between them. Right.
Yeah.
Like they've spent time working together and training, and they've come to know about one another and learn, you know, and support one another as people, you know, encourage sort of growth and development in one another, both in combat, but also as humans.
That is true. So we're going from there.
Ooh. Yeah.
Back to Marcus. Are you prepared for Marcus's?
Can I just say,
what?
I'm kind of amazed we didn't spend like 20 minutes on the tiny mustache. Fine. I'm not saying we need to go back. I'm just thinking like, oh, it's interesting. We didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the tiny mustache is, I mean, I think that Keith thought to remark on it. And there's part of me that thinks that is because he wants us to remember every single character he ever brings up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Bless his heart. Mm-hmm. Marcus almost gagged when he went to the back room. Danny's body was still lying there in the hallway. Damn it. He couldn't even call Wolfgang? Deciding it was best to call him, he pulled out his phone before he went into the back room and did so himself. But Wolfgang didn't answer. That was weird. Wolfgang always answered his phone. Marcus left a message and then went back on to see Fagin. The man in question was pacing back and forth in his back room, occasionally kicking the charred remains of his holograph. To Marcus, destroying that was one of the few things Fagin had done that had made sense. UNN wasn't talking about nothing that wasn't the damn alien invasion, which Marcus didn't even think was real, and he'd come pretty close to blowing up his own holo this morning. Fagin was also muttering to himself. Marcus couldn't make out what he was saying, and all things considered, he figured he was better off not knowing. Finally, when he'd been standing in the doorway for half a minute without his bosses noticing, Marcus said, "Fagin?" Whipping out his P220, Fagin stopped pacing and pointed the muzzle right at Marcus's head. "What?" Holding up his hands defensively, Marcus said, "Take it easy, Fagin. Listen, I gotta talk to you." He decided to cover the business first, figuring it would be better to ease into the other thing. "We almost had a pab. When's the re-up coming from Halcyon?" "Ain't no re-up coming." Fagin lowered the gun and started pacing again. "Flickers on Halcyon cut us off last month. The blonde read that one of their couriers was planning something, okay? I shot the guy as a favor to them, but what do? They cut us off. I'm this damn close to renting a shuttle and killing the whole flicking bunch." Okay, so like, Fagin has just gone mad killing people.
Yeah, it's completely mad. I also like that in this moment of really what is mental insanity and total disconnection from reality, Fagin is still has the practical wherewithal to realize that we ought to rent the shuttle.
Yes.
Rather than like buy it or steal it or something, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, no, hang on. Let's be practical about the resources we spend on doing something like flying over to another planet to murder drug producers. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're going to do that, may as well rent, right? Like, because, like, it's going to be, like, what do you need a whole vehicle for if they're, you know, it's just one.
Well, and also they'll probably open fire on us, you know, we don't want our own vehicles to, you know, kind of caught up in that sort of situation, you know. Maybe he's thinking that he'll, like, you know, like, he'll just put down an insurance deposit and that will cover it. You know,
yeah.
and then he won't be liable for it in the same way.
Yeah. Slowly, Marcus said, "So, we find a new supply yet?" That got Fagin to stop pacing again. "What? A new supply? New supply of what? Stop sounding like a pan-brain, Marcus. I ain't in the damn mood, okay? We need a new supply of hab, Fagin, or we got Halcyon. We don't need nothing else." Damn, it's worse than I thought. "Fagin, listen to me. You gotta take that thing off your head. You got to." Fagin started laughing. "You are a pan brain. I take this off, the blonde'll fry my brains like an egg. Nah, stud, I gotta keep this on, or..." "I talked to Morwood. You're only supposed to wear that thing for 7 hours at a time, or it causes..." The P220 came back out. "What the flick were you doing talking to Morwood?" "I wanted to ask him about a thing you were wearing. Fagin, listen to me. It's done something to your head. You've been killing people for no reason. The hab supply is going to run out. Profits are down all over because people are scared you're going to be shooting them. Everybody's convinced you're going to do something else, all pan-brained. I'm not even sure it's going to work, but you got to take that thing off." "I ain't taking nothing off, okay? And you ain't answered my flicking question yet. What the flick? Hey, Fagin!" Moving the P220 over to the door, Fagin yelled, "What?" Out of the corner of his eye, he refused to take his eyes completely off of Fagin. Marcus saw Jojo standing there. "There's some stud at the door with a gummint. At least, that's what he said." "No, that's what I meant." Another figure came up behind Jojo. A tall man dressed in a leather duster over a pristine white thing that covered his entire body and a holographic badge. Oh my God, Daisy, it's happening.
It's finally happening. The two stupidest men in the entire world are face to face to at last duke it out on the straight hand-to-hand arena of just pure mindless conversation.
Whirling around, Jojo said, "Crap, stud, I told you to wait." "You don't tell me a damn thing, kid. I'm a wrangler, Agent Malcolm Kalerchian, and I'm here to remove Nova Terra from these premises."
It's funny to imagine the idea that, like, everyone is just being bowled over by the force field, you know?
Yeah, they're all like, wow, look at this force field.
Right.
That's the guy that's been killing all those people on the
show. Oh, that's the dude! That's the dude who's knocking everyone over when he walks down the street.
It's the bus crash guy!
He's the one who's been crashing all of our good buses.
"Flick you!" Fagin fired his P-220 at the doorway, bullets hitting both Jojo and the confad. Jojo fell as bullets ripped into his chest and arms and head. The confad just stood there, bullets stopping right before they could have hit him, and then falling to the floor. As if Marcus needed more proof, this indicated that Fagin was seriously fogged. The confads had the best toys, everybody knew that, especially Fagin, whose mantra had always been never to get on the confad sensors. Calmly, the agent said, "You finished? Ooh, like the Matrix."
Like this, exactly like
the Matrix.
Do you remember in the Matrix when Neo turned to the agents and went, "You finished?
You finished?"
Don't you remember in the Matrix when Neo went to the agents and was like, "You don't tell me a damn thing, kid. I'm Neo, and I'm here to remove Morpheus from these premises." imagining Fagin as like one of these agents, like the worst agent from the Matrix, you know, like a really really bad agent, is amusing.
Yeah. "Get the flick out of my square, you flickin' slike." Marcus shivered as he saw the look in Fagin's eyes. He's lost it. He's completely lost it. Fagin emptied the rest of his ammo into the confad's force field. The bullets collected at Kalerchian's feet. After he dry-clicked a few times, Kalerchian asked, "Now you finish? Nova's been tagged for the ghost program. That means the government wants her, and that means that you don't get to keep her. Don't try to deny that she's here. I've had a pounding headache since I walked in the door, so I know she's in the building."
Mal. You've been walking around the gutter for 6 months.
It's for ages.
Like, how does he not? He's, yeah, okay. Anyway, there's nothing else left to say. It has probably been, I'll bet if we went back and checked like the first episode that we started talking about Malcolm's incompetence, it would be like 3 months ago, you know, that we've been hammering on this. Like, what else is there to say? But now that Malcolm has the upper hand, now he's like, "You finished, punk."
I know, right?
Like, all right, the second he gets up on anyone, suddenly all the cool phrases start to come out.
I know. So then Mal continues, "There are two ways this can go. The first is that you turn her over to me like I asked. The other is that I bring the Marines down on your head." What? Fagin was just staring blankly at the confad. "I got a division of Marines waiting to take this place down. Only thing holding them back is me. So are you going to give me Nova Terra? What do you want with me?" Marcus whirled around to see that Nova was standing in the door. Kalerchian turned around. "Miss Terra, I'm Agent Mal Kalerchian. I'm a wrangler. My job is to find telepaths and bring them to the ghost program. I've been searching for you for 6 months."
Don't say that. Leave that part out, Mal. You don't say that here, okay? This is not the right situation.
No.
You don't want to, I don't think you want
to. Nova's like, "This guy's deeply incompetent.
What were you doing? I've been killing people. I've been killing people for 6 months. Where were you? Why didn't you do anything?"
He turned to look at Fagin, but you've been pretty hard to find. To Marcus's surprise, he started to reach into his jacket pocket for his own P220. What the hell?
I love that Malcolm in this moment turns to Fagin as like, this is the criminal mastermind who's made my job that much harder. And Fagin's like firing bullets at random, like into space, into force fields, killing his own literally killing his own. Like, he just shot the fuck out of JoJo, right? Malcolm, yeah. Okay, Malcolm is standing right there. Fagin is unloading clips of from his gun into an obvious force field and also shooting up his own, like, person there, his own worker. And Malcolm is like, this genius, this genius has kept Nova just out of arm's reach. Nova, there was nothing I could have done. I'm sorry, Nova. He was too brilliant for me. Oh my god, what is this book?
She's mine, Fagin said. She's mine, you flicking combat slike. You ain't taking her from me, okay? Of its own accord, the P-220 raised. Marcus tried to stop it, but his arms were no longer under his own control. You have only two choices, Fagin, Kalerchian said with a hard stare at him. You give us to her. What?
What?
You give us to her, or we take her from your corpse.
Hang on. Let's pause for a second. Let's pause for a second here. This is a real sort of branching path situation here. One of them is that this is a typo in the book. And the other is that Mal is playing some serious mind games.
You give us to her? Please give me to Novatara.
Give the Marines. Give me and the Marines to Nova. I'm here to deliver a Marine unit to Novatara.
Oh my god, this is like the next thing that
for her birthday.
Nova's like, what is the ghost program? I thought this book was supposed to explain that.
And remember, just as a reminder, every page further that we get is one page less to explain the entire prologue where Nova goes to the jungle to kill terrorists.
I know,
right?
I'm so confused.
Like, that was, we're so far without having ever even touched on the ghost program.
Shut up, Curve! Fagin shouted, his eyes wild, his arms gesticulating crazily. His thumb hitting the safety button, Marcus started to pull the trigger. He could have shouted out, he could have warned his target, but he realized that he was under Nova's control. She never could do this before. Besides, he found he didn't want to stop her. A snarl started to form on Fagin's lips. Flick you! Then Fagin convulsed from the 7 bullets that slammed into his back. Nova stared down at Fagin's corpse. 6 months ago, I told him that one of his trusted lieutenants would kill him. Then you lied, Marcus said, lowering his arms and grateful for having the ability to do so again. Two of them did.
Whoa! Got him.
Yeah.
Okay, can we just pause here for a second?
Sure.
So for 6 months, Nova's been killing people for Fagin.
Yeah.
And all she had to do was mind control a different person to shoot Fagin.
Yeah.
Like, we made all these jokes about, like, just break his legs or whatever, but that's basically just what happened, is she just used mind control to stop him.
Yeah. Right? I mean, So going on, it says...
It's literally the joke we've been making.
Yeah.
It just happened. Like, that's just actually how it went down.
Yeah. Because she's like, I was just doing what you wanted to do for months now, Marcus. Every time we were in the same room together, I couldn't feel anything else because your desire to kill him was so strong. But I knew you would never do it on your own.
So I waited for 4 months,
I know,
murdering people. Children died. Fagin killed one person after another, but the time wasn't right.
And then Mal's just standing there watching this. The confet had just been standing there watching. I see you've been busy since you killed the people who killed your family.
What?
Nova's eyes went wide. So did Marcus's, both at what Kalerchian said and at Nova's surprise. Nova had never been surprised by anything anyone said, except for Fagin, of course.
Wait. That's, oh, because she's a telepath.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, okay.
Shaking his head, Marcus thought, of course, he's a confed. He got the same toys they all do, probably wearing one of them things that made Fagin fogged. How did you know that? Nova asked in a small voice. I saw my sister on UNN. She said what we told her to say. Agent Kalerchian's voice got surprisingly gentle as he went on. You've got nothing left, Nova. I can't believe that living here is something you want, given what you just made this young man here do. And your family's all gone. We're your best bet. He took a breath. I'm wearing a side screen. I know what it is, she said quickly. Pointing at Fagin's corpse, she said. He wore one. Kalerchian looked in surprise at where she pointed. Where the hell did he get one? Fagin's contacts go all over Tarsonis, stud, Marcus said. Or they did for that thing that made him fogged. He got it from a guy in the army to keep Nova in line. You had people in the army? Marcus nodded, amused at the agent's surprise. No wonder I couldn't find crap for 6 months. He's just looking for excuses now.
Yeah, no, Malcolm is like, oh, my shoes were untied? Well, that explains everything. Like, he's a dumb man who doesn't understand that his force field was the reason why he didn't learn anything for 6 months.
Problem was, he didn't ever take it off. Now Kalerchian's eyes widened. Never? For 6 months? Nope. I was wondering how a pan brain like that could be as powerful as he's supposed to be. He wasn't always that pan-brained. Marcus looked down at the man who had once been such a good boss.
Such a good boss. Who's a good boss? Yes, you are. Who's the best boss? We are. Who's the best boss? We are. Who's not as good of a boss? Other bosses.
They always do, Kalerchian said. Then he turned back to Nova.
Marcus wanted to kill Fagin already at the very beginning of the book.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't love Fagin before this. So is he just getting sentimental?
Maybe.
Or was there actually something better before this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, I think that it's like, you know, since he got this device, he's kind of... But yeah, he did...
It's gotten worse, but Marcus already wanted to kill him.
He did already want to.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to turn my side screen off. You can read me, learn everything there is to know about the Ghost Program. You'll see it's the best thing for you. Unlike Fagin's screen, Kalerchian didn't require him to touch anything. He just nodded and Nova stared at him. Then she straightened up. Whenever Nova stood these days, she was all slumped over like she was trying to protect herself. But when she first showed up, Marcus had noticed that her posture was damn near perfect. With her background, that would figure, he had thought at the time. But 6 months with Fagin had fogged that posture right up. Until now. Tears welling in her green eyes, she smiled. Marcus hadn't seen her smile since the last time she'd stood up straight. Is it true? She whispered. Kalerchian frowned. What was that? Is it true? At the end of the training program, you'll take my memories away? Please tell me. That's become SOP lately. Kalerchian looked concerned now. The confess words were cut off by Nova's running up to him and wrapping her arms around his chest. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Agent Clerchy, and you don't know what this means. Thank you so much. Awkwardly, the confed patted Nova on the back. That's fine, really. Didn't figure that to be the big recruiting incentive. Hell, usually that's the biggest drawback. Okay. Why the flick not? Marcus asked with a certain heat. Ain't nothing down here but crap flowing down from on high. Only folks who get anything here get it for themselves, and most of them can't. So why they all take Hab and Turk and the rest. They're trying to forget. Crap, if there was some way you could give me a brain pan, I'd take it in a flash. Means I could forget this life.
Is that a play on pan brain, do you think?
A brain pan? A brain pan? What is that?
I don't know, but is that...
pan
maybe brain? That's why they call people pan brains.
I don't know.
Because a brain pan is like a brain wipe. So when they call people pan brains, they're like, oh, like you had your brain wiped?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Look at Keith. Look at Keith sliding that in right there.
I know.
Not bad, Keith.
Nova pulled out of the hug. Marcus figured the agent was relieved. After sniffling, she said, Agent Kalerchian, I've killed 382 people.
What? 382? This is and way more than 70-something.
And felt 32 more, including my family, die in my head. I can tell you everything about every single one of those people, all 414 of them, including what they were thinking at the moment they died. Her voice was getting louder with each sentence, but then it broke. What makes you think I want to remember any of that? A shiver went down Marcus's spine, and not just from Nova's words. He tried to imagine what might have been going through the mind of his mother. His birth mother. Not the woman his father married later, when his father killed her. He wondered if his father's being able to know that would have changed what the man did. Probably not. Crap, he probably would have enjoyed it more. Kalerchian nodded. Fair enough. I'll call... Nova suddenly slumped again. Something's wrong. She put her hands to her head. No! Then the world exploded around Marcus.
What? I like how, you know, once again, here's the only thing Malcolm has done is wear a force field. Like, that is the... So now that we are at the point where now it's getting to, like, okay, Nova's actually going to go into the ghost program. It's like, he didn't even stop Fagin or do anything. He just walked in the room wearing a force field, and Nova was like, this is my moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now I'm going to have Marcus kill Fagin. Right?
Yeah.
So, because Mal didn't use his gun. He didn't really say, like, he didn't convince Fagin of anything.
No.
He just stood in the door with a force field on, and that was the turning point for Fagin's story, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, that's the end of chapter 16.
God. Mal just doesn't do any. He doesn't do anything. All of these people are so frustrated.
Hang on. Now, Kara, to be fair, that force field won't turn itself on.
It doesn't turn itself on.
Right? You got to reach your hand down to the utility belt, and you have to actually push the button. And it takes a sentient human being with literal motor capacity control over their hands to be able to do that. So, you know.
Yeah.
So Mal has that going for him. The literal ability to use his hands.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess it's something.
It's more than what apparently the other people in the TPF have.
That is true. Wait, did we meet new friends today?
We did meet new friends. We met Tiny Mustache Man.
Oh, of course we did. Tiny Mustache Man.
What's his name again? Sebastian? Spaulding. Captain Spaulding.
Yeah, Captain Spaulding.
A young man with a large nose and a small mustache. Good old Hitler. Hitler, the Marine.
Marine. Hitler Marine or something.
Yeah. What if all the Marines are like fashioned after sort of famous historical dictators?
I mean, Anyway,
let's not do that. So next time we'll head into chapter 17. My guess is that the Marines are now attacking, probably, right?
I mean, I guess. I mean, the word hasn't been given, right? So
right. But that's if I had to guess. If I had to guess what's going on, I would guess that they've like just gone in on their own. They've just decided, okay, we're doing it, and they've gone in, and they're gonna like blow shit up now.
I mean, I hope so, because you know we haven't seen that much action.
Yeah. Which, yeah. If that is what happens, it actually means Malcolm, because he's also the one who brought the army in, right?
Yeah.
It would really put a damper on his one single thing that he's contributed to the story so far.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll find out next time. There were no strangers, only friends we've not met yet for a 22nd week in a row.
Wow.
Good job.
Nice.
Good job, Keith. Nice job. Nice, Keith. And that's it. What was the lesson from today's episode?
The lesson, always have a force field.
Always have a force field.
Always have a force field.
So if you are thinking at home about getting into, you know, say, law enforcement of some kind, there's a little tip for you.
That is a good tip. It's a good tip. So I guess until next time, thank you, Keith, and wear a force field.
Thanks, Keith. Wear a force field. And here is the warp drive.